Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
You'll be shot for this!
This man will make your bladder splatter!
You ain't nothing!
Okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah. Woo!
Hi, everybody. Jim Shear here, and today, Yin's Love Breaking Bad Season 5, Episode 8, gliding over all, and joining us today, Prof D.
What's up, Jim?
Yes! One of our favorites here on Milk It Entertainment. You were in a rap group with me? Oh, I shouldn't say you were in a rap group with me, because we still have the rap group.
Sure, we just haven't performed or recorded anything in a dozen years.
D-Boys! So maybe D-Boys is the equivalent of Twat Hammer. And I think that was the name of Jesse's band. And I forget what season of Breaking Bad. Prof D is a rapper. He is a lot like Walter White because he has a full head of hair. And sometimes he just shaves it clean. I don't know why. Whew.
Jim, I always enjoy getting drawn into your little world.
So first, let's recap the episode. You can chime in whenever. We start off with a close-up of the fly. Ironic that a fly is alive inside an exterminator's office. Anyway, Todd and Walt, boys again, they got to get rid of Mike. Jesse comes into the garage for a second. Luckily, he doesn't see Mike.
Then he's gone.
He's gone. He didn't say he died. He's just gone. Then we go to the prison scene. We're wondering who will flip. Then Walt meets Lydia. It seems like Walt's main intention to visit Lydia was to kill her because he has the little ricin capsule. But Lydia proposes a new business opportunity for Walt. Sell crystal meth to the people in the Czech Republic. My ancestors, my forefathers, my people. Walt goes along with it. Then Walt decides it is time to hook up with Todd's uncle. And thank God Todd's uncle's legit. Because somehow he manages to knock off 10 people in a matter of 2 minutes, and all of these 10 people were in three different prisons. It goes on the news. Walt happens to be over Hank's house. He comes home. He is bummed. He dreams of simpler days when he could just mark trees off in the woods and lumberjacks would come and chop them down. We have yet another montage of the team cooking crystal meth. To Tommy James and the Shandells, Crystal Blue Persuasion. And I was upset when the montage first started, and we can talk about this later, but as the montage went on, I was like, okay, you know what? I dig these Breaking Bad montages, and I really like the aerial shot where they had the little different green and yellow houses as the camera went further and further. Marie and Skylar have a little one-to-one in the living room. Marie's like, listen, I'm enabling you guys. You got to take your kids back. We see Walt and Skylar. Skylar's like, yo, take a ride with me. We're like, what's she doing? Is she going to kill Walt? She takes him to a storage facility. She lifts up the garage door, and we see the most money that I've ever seen. And actually, I take that back because we have seen that pile of money on the subway posters for Breaking Bad when the new season started. All hail the king. Walt is just sitting on a big, I wouldn't even call that a stack of cash. That's like two king's beds worth of cash. he's like, wow, okay. So he visually sees how much money he's made. Then he has his cancer scan. We don't know if the cancer's back. He does look at the tissue box that he punched out a couple seasons ago when he found out that he was cancer-free. Then Walt visits Jesse. I actually thought Jesse might die in this scene. Jesse does not die. Jesse actually gets a payday of $5 million, but how tense was that scene when he opened up the bags? It wasn't a bomb. It was money. And then The final scene of the episode, well, there are two more scenes. Walt tells Skyler he's out. Then we fast forward to a picnic where I'm assuming takes place a few weeks, a month or so after he told Skyler that he was out, because everybody's happy, having a cookout in the backyard. Hey, Flynn, or Walt, I don't remember if he was called Walt Jr. or Flynn. That's interesting. I should go back and watch that. But he has to put sunscreen on his little sister. Just having a good time. Hank has to take a poop. While he's on the crapper, he pulls out a book of Walt Whitman poetry called... Help me out with this one, Prof. Leaves of Grass, right?
Leaves of Grass.
Yes, Leaves of Grass. Flipping through it like I often do while I go to the bathroom. I would flip
in
the same
way. In other people's bathrooms.
Absolutely. And then the inscription on the first page says, to my other favorite WW, it's an honor working with you. Fondly, GB. Hank has a flashback of the whole WW scene from last year where he's like, who could this be? Willy Wonka? Walter White? You got me. You got me. And then Walter, of course, says, no, it's Walt Whitman, because flip a few pages back in Gail Bettiker's journal and he has a whole little page dedicated to Walt Whitman. And now we have to wait a whole year until we see what happens. All right. So did you think that Jesse was going to die in this episode?
You know, I did not, actually.
But the scene was tense, right?
Well, it was very, yes, it was. the thing that I thought was very interesting was that I didn't question whether he was going to die. I was actually questioning whether he had slipped back to using again.
Well, he does have, is it the bong that's out on the table?
Well, because, you know, he starts off the scene, he's passed out, you know, sleeping, whatever, with a lit cigarette that's almost going to, you know, burn the couch, right? Which, who does that? Unless you've, you know, drifted off into some drug-induced stupor.
Ooh, right? Okay.
And then he, when Walt comes in, he makes an effort to hide the bong that's sitting on the table.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe he's just, you know, smoking a little Chiba Chiba. I don't know. Which is, you know, not as bad. But, yeah, it just looked like he was maybe slipping into the Jesse of old and some bad habits.
And I love that they show Walt's face, and he had a little smirk on it when Jesse hit the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Because Walt's I was right. He's like, go-karts, drugs.
I made a note of that in my notes in preparing for this episode.
Yeah, he knew. He knew Jesse was a slacker. But we've seen through the seasons that Jesse needs to be motivated. And when he's
motivated, and
he has the right leadership, he can do, well, I don't want to say
wonderful
great thing.
Because,
not, you know, selling crystal meth is not a great thing. But
well, you know, the funny thing about Jesse this season was that, like, he was really turning into a little MacGyver. He was the one that's like, hey, dudes, magnets, man.
Yeah.
And he had the idea for the train heist, you know.
Magnets and the train heist. He had two major victories this season.
I know.
Because a lot of people were saying, oh, like, Jesse's coming up with all the great ideas. And then last night when they were showing the aerial pan over all of the houses with the green and yellow tents on them, I was like, well, Jesse did come up with a lot of great things this year, but Walt was the one who came up with the, hey, let's cook in bombed out houses.
Right.
And
it's a team effort.
Yeah, it is. Solid team. Jesse and Walt, a solid duo. Leading up to this week's episode, I caught up on some old Breaking Bads, and I found it interesting that when Jesse's parents kicked him out of his aunt's house, he kind of had to go rogue and try to live with old friends. His excuse for why he left home was that his house was being bombed by exterminators.
Yeah.
So I thought it was neat how that all came full circle this season. Professor, I want to talk about The Fly.
Okay, let's talk about The Fly.
The Fly episode is a very it's a polarizing episode. We've talked about this before in the history of Breaking Bad. Some people love it. Well, you either love it or hate it. And when they showed The Fly, I was like, ooh, okay. Where are they going with this? So what's your take on The Fly? And then I'll give you my take on The Fly.
So I thought it was very interesting that to open the episode with that. And I immediately thought of, you know, the prior episode with The Fly. And I thought that it was very symbolic, quite honestly.
Okay.
That, my take on it was, is that, you know, Walt, you know, in his mind, he's, you know, this mastermind. He has, you know, contingency plans for everything. He has this master plan. But no matter how diligent you are, how much you think you have control, that you can't account for everything. There's always a fly in the ointment, so to speak. Right, no matter what. And so I immediately felt like at the beginning of that episode had like this real sense of dread. Like, oh my gosh, what is he not accounting for? What is he not considering? What variable is out there that is going to muck things up? And it turns out that it's, you know, Hank and this Walt Whitman book that ultimately he just didn't account for.
Yeah. So, I want to talk.
That was my take.
No, that's a great take. I want to talk about that later, the whole end scene. My take on The Fly is that Walt always seems to see the little things. He's so he's so concerned about his little ricin capsule. Puts it behind the socket. He's so concerned while they're going through how they're going to kill these 10 men in prison. He's so concerned with the painting, and he's like, ah. How do you know? Do they make those? Like, where do they make those? But Walt always seems to come short when you're talking about the big picture. Gray matter. How did he? He's so concerned about the little things. How did he goof up on gray matter? How did he not know that was going to be a $1 billion company? You know?
Well, see, the interesting. So it's interesting you went there because, like, my take of the painting in particular. And that, and the fly, in some sense, is that, like, it's almost like he wasn't, he's not into it anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I like that. Okay.
Like, the mind is wandering. He's not as focused on what is really important to run the business. He's off staring at some painting. Like, Walt, get your head in the game, brother. What are you doing? Who cares? Looking at some stupid fly, like, what?
Because you may remember in a previous episode when the doctor was telling Walt that he had cancer, all he could concentrate on was the mustard stain on the lab coat of this doctor.
Yeah.
And he's not seeing the big picture. He's not seeing that he has cancer and he's going to die and he has to take care of his family. He's just concentrating on the mustard spot on the lab coat. And then you've got Hank, who has made some big-time plays in the last few seasons. The Big Laundromat. Yes, that's a drug laboratory. Gus Fring. Mike Ehrmantraut. He's coming up with these big discoveries, but what's the little discovery? It's that this bald-headed brother-in-law of yours, who used to be a teacher, couldn't keep his job at the high school, now owns a car wash. He is Heisenberg.
I mean, I got to give Hank a pass on. I mean, there's no way that you would suspect Walter of being involved in any of this.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's so implausible that, you know, oh, well, gee, my brother-in-law is a chemistry teacher. He wouldn't know how to cook meth. I bet you he took over this big drug enterprise. And, you know, really, I mean, you know, so I give Hank a complete pass on that.
All right, you know what? Let's go to the end scene right now while it's fresh
on
the mind.
Let's go.
Okay. So he's in the bathroom. First of all, and maybe this goes back to you saying that, you know, Walt has lost the love. He doesn't kill the fly anymore because he just don't care. He's looking at paintings on the wall. Why, oh, why does Walt have that stupid book in his house?
That just seems like the worst idea ever.
They've had the whole Walt Whitman conversation with Hank before. And he's so careful. Like you said, he took a whole episode of Breaking Bad to kill one fly.
Yeah. I can't explain it. You know, the big question in my mind is, like, has that book, like, been there for the past, you know, whatever, 6 months, 8 months, however long it's been?
That's
like just sitting there the whole time?
Yeah, that's the question I have.
Or is that something that he newly put there? Like, you know, it's unclear, and I don't know how many pivotal scenes occur in the white bathroom to go back and look at previous episodes to see if that book was there, but I mean, it just seems so out of character, like you said.
Yeah, the book felt familiar to me. Like, maybe we've seen it once before this season in a bathroom scene. But following this episode, I went to all of the Gale episodes, and there's never a scene where Gale gives Walt a book or any type of present. So my first reaction was, I was like, oh, come on, writers. You were just taking a puzzle piece and just cramming it in there. Because that Walt Whitman book never appears in any other Breaking Bad seasons. But after, you know, after the episode has marinated a little bit, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I thought that it was like, I think everybody kind of suspected that at some point Hank's going to wise up. And I think the way that that happened, like, nobody predicted that. Like, I thought it was really clever using that device in order to kind of clue Hank in on and put him on that path.
And it's funny that all of these big discoveries Hank has made, his biggest comes while he's on the toilet.
Well, he's a big man. I'm sure he spends a lot of time there.
It was a gift from the gods. So, now, what does Hank do?
Well, you know, so this leads to, like, my... Let me throw this out to you as one of the issues that I had with this episode is that, you know, I don't know how things work in the high drug trade, but, you know, let's say I'm in my job, and I'm going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put in my 2 weeks and worry about, like, transfer of knowledge and who's, you know, stepping in and things like that. Like, it just seems like it was, and maybe this will come up later on, but it almost just seemed too easy. Like, well, I'm just going to step away.
See, what? Now, everything kind of felt a tad rushed this season. Because when Walt said that he was out, I didn't buy it. But after I slept on it, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe he is out. But then I thought,
well, what does that mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think he's really, he may think he's out.
See, I think he told.
We've seen this episode, you know, this season, even when you're out, you're not out.
Oh, you can never get out.
I mean, so now, okay, you know, who's in charge now? Well, at some point, let's say the pressure comes down on them, you know, that fear always exists that they're going to then rat out Walt to save their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you, there's no safe zone.
See, yeah, my initial reaction was, he's not out. He's just telling Skyler he's out, and he's going to start a whole nother layer of lies again, because he's a great liar.
I don't know if that's possible.
Because that was my first reaction, but then I thought about it today and I was like, well, no, because Skyler has been through so many lies. I think she could tell if Walt was being sincere or not.
And well, it's, and plus the fact that, I mean, running a multi, you know, what, $1 billion enterprise probably going to take a little bit of time out of your daily schedule.
Right.
And, you know, so if you just don't show up, you know, you're gone for long periods of time. That's really hard to cover up.
Yeah, and
Where have you been? Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's even in the first season, first two seasons, you know, it was, you know, he had to make up all these excuses for why he was
right.
out.
Because the first
and stuff like that.
The first day that Walt is late for dinner, Skylar's going to be like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
I was stuck in traffic,
right,
I swear.
Right. And you think at that point in time, she just takes the kids and leaves. Now,
yeah.
If Walt is out, and maybe they'll explain it in the last 8 episodes, what is Declan's reaction? How does Declan let Heisenberg just walk away? And then what's Lydia's reaction? And then all the people in the Czech Republic, what's their reaction? How does the king just walk away?
That's right. I mean, it doesn't seem that simple to just make that decision and say, you know what, I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that simple.
And then what happens to Jesse in all of this?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a easier time understanding, like, the transition of Jesse being out of the game, because in some sense, like, yeah, he was integral in the process, but, like, I think the other players in the game didn't view him as, like, the man.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, well, yeah, we had this, like, little strong, you know, idiot hanging around, but, like, yeah, if he leaves, like, we're probably going to be okay.
Right.
You know, or, you know, so, although, again, I would worry about, like, you know, retribution. I mean, if things start going to hell with the new owners, you know, they start getting pressure, you know, he could be, you know, in danger again. I mean, it's certainly a possibility. But, I mean, the Hank thing is, like, so he starts sniffing around. What evidence is there for him to find right now if Walt is truly out?
That's because I was going through that whole scenario in my head. The one scenario I went through was, okay, it doesn't say Gail Bettiger in the book. It does say WW. It is in Walt's bathroom. So obviously it was made out to Walter White.
Right.
Maybe, you know, there's another chemist he worked with. So, I mean, obviously, Hank has put two and two together.
Right.
But maybe, possibly, Walt could lie himself out of this one.
Well, I just think that even when he was, suspecting Gus, you know, what did he do? He put the tail on him. He, you know, followed him around. And Gus was still in the game. So, the potential of looking suspicious existed. If Walt's really out, go tail him. Where's he going? Nowhere.
Right.
He's going to the grocery store. He's going to the laundromat. I mean, you know, who cares? You know?
Yeah,
and
good
has
point.
Has he covered his trail up to this point well enough? You know, maybe. I would be most worried about the other people involved, you know, whoever those may be. Lydia in particular, she's just like, you stare at her, she'll crack.
Was it last season or 2 seasons ago where Hank presented Walt with, you know, this Gail Bettiger, and he's like, oh, yeah, I've, you know, wow, okay. So at that point in time, he could have said, oh, yeah, I know Gail Bettiger. He's a great chemist or whatever. So he didn't play that
right.
card. So obviously,
right.
Walt right now, he can't know who Gail is. But maybe GB is just another chemistry bud of Walt. And maybe he tells Hank, hey, listen, all great chemists love Walt Whitman. This is our thing. You know, we get together every Wednesday night in coffee shops and we talk about Walt Whitman. I don't know if he
right.
can lie this one away, but Hank is now thinking. And then Hank probably thinks of the former ASAC who got sacked, who said, Gus Fring was under my nose the whole time. He taught me how
right.
to barbecue this fish with the foil pocket. And then if yeah. Hank, if he, you know, if he does find proof that Walt is Heisenberg, he's out of a job. Because that's what happened with the former commish.
Well, yeah, but I think the problem with the former commish was that he found out about it, like, after the fact. Right?
So,
that was the main issue, that if they would have done their proper due diligence, that they could have apprehended him before he was murdered.
Because
I think
Hank said,
issue there.
Because Hank is like, I think it's Gus. You know, A, B, C, and D says it is. And he's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, we'll just ignore that.
But you don't think anything comes down on Hank? Be like, Hank, this dude was in your office all the time. I mean, his kids were living at your house. Come on, Hank, I think you're covering for him.
Well, I mean, maybe. I think it all depends on, you know, how it goes down. You know, if he would, you know, apprehend him, then I think that would be, you know, better late than never kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, you see where you're going with that.
It'll be interesting. And, I mean, we've been waiting for this showdown for the last five seasons. Walt versus Hank. How will it unfold? How will it go down? I don't know. So another question. These are on my these are my side notes now.
Okay.
When Hank was telling Walt about his yearning for the simpler days of yesteryear.
Yes.
When he would go into a forest and mark trees. What was your take on that little story?
So the first thing is completely unrelated, but especially I rewatched it this morning, and I guess Hank is pretty high up, but his house is killer, man. He is rocking the fabulous house. did you pick up on that at all? Like, oh my God.
Why? It's a nice house.
The only thing that this sounds horrible, but what is up with that ugly purple throw rug in the living room? My God.
Well, I think
that is just hideous.
Well, I think Marie's all about purple. Because if you watch that scene, she was wearing a purple hoodie.
That's right. And they had the purple pillows on the couch and the big purple throw rug, which was, this is hideous.
Yep.
But anyways, I mean, I thought it was an interesting scene. I you know, often I watch, like, television programs, and it's like, I question the reality because people always, like, and I look back at myself, and I'm like, I don't do this. Like, people have these, like, breathtaking observations about life based on, like, some prior, you know, experience that they've had. And so, you know, oh, my gosh, the answers are all in this job that I had when I was 15 years old. And I've been thinking about that a lot. And really, like, Hank doesn't strike me as that deep of a guy, quite honestly. So I thought that was a little bit unusual, but it's a convention that you see in television a lot.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I thought it was just interesting to look at, you know, what do you get satisfaction out of? Right. And I thought that potentially that was like the first instance potentially where Hank where Walt maybe was questioning, like, why am I doing this, right? And like I said, like, earlier, like, I really feel like the day-to-day drain, you know, reality, just, like, this is a pain in the butt, you know? Like, what is it? Why am I going through all of this? And really start to question it. And I think sitting listening to that story, you know, in my mind, at least, caused Walt to really question, you know, for himself, like, why am I putting myself through all of this?
Because later in the episode, he actually pines for simple days with Jesse. He's like, yeah, man, I saw an old Winnebago. Remember that? Remember when we broke down? It was, and the gas gauge only went up to halfway. So he was thinking of simpler times.
Yeah.
I wonder if he misses teaching at all.
Probably a little bit.
Maybe.
As a former teacher myself, I sometimes find myself yearning for the excitement and sometimes frustration of the classroom. And so I'm sure there's a little piece of Walt, I would think, that enjoyed that and longs for simpler times.
But we go back to a couple seasons ago when Walt was just, you know, still coming up in the drug game. I think he got enough money. He walked out. And then he became obsessed with fixing his house up. I think especially with that area with the hot water heater. So he goes right. to the Home Depot. He sees that guy obviously making meth. And he's like, oh, no, you're doing it all wrong. And you can't get those matches. You got to get the little boxes of the matches with the sulfur. So he goes through this whole thing. And then when they're out in the parking lot, the fever comes back again. It comes back, and this was in the beginning. And he goes up to him. He's like, "Stay out of my territory."
Well, you know, the one interesting line that I picked up on, and I don't know if you did or not, but it was near the end when they're all sitting around in the at the picnic, right on the back deck,
mm-hmm.
and so they bring up about Hank and his brewing beer. Right. And they're like, oh, well, maybe you should brew up some, you know, some more beer, blah, blah, blah. And he says, quote, "Who am I to fly in the face of public demand?" Which I thought was just a really interesting line.
Wow. Good catch.
That, you know, while Walt might say, like, I'm out. We've heard this potentially from him in the past. When it gets down to it, like, is his, you know, ego going to prevent him from really stepping away if, you know, he goes out and's like, oh my God, these people in the Czech Republic, 60% purity. What? Come on now. That, you know, if that demand's there, does he feel like honor bound, like that he's the only one that can do it and that's going to, you know, pull him back in? I just thought it was almost like a throwaway line if you look in the context of the scene. But I thought it was very poignant and could potentially, you know, indicate something else.
Wow. I like that. And in the Leaves of Grass, the episode was called Glide Overall, and the last line of the passage was
Death, many deaths I'll sing. That's right. You looked that up too.
I looked it up. Because I guess the passage is about looking back fondly on your voyage in life, but you also include death in that.
The voyage of the soul, not life alone. Death. Many deaths I'll sing.
And there have been many deaths.
That's right.
And many montages.
Speaking of which, I thought it was really interesting that in my very short research of Leaves of Grass, that evidently there's a big focus on nature and it kind of in and of itself. So I thought that was interesting that Hank's story, you know, was related to nature and sort of that whole theme. That was the thing that he longed for.
Oh.
That Walt Whitman sort of spoke to in this piece of work.
Okay. Because I thought you meant nature calling. Like nature called and he had to go poop.
Yeah. I was going for something a little deeper there, but sure.
I read a review online this morning that said that likened Hank marking off the trees and then someone else chopping them down to him marking off these 10 criminals and then someone else knocking them down.
Hmm.
And then my take, just something I realized, something I picked up on, who knows if it means anything, he was talking about marking trees in a grid. He's like, you'd go in this grid and you'd mark these trees. So now, because, you know, Gus Fring was kind of in this grid and Mike Ehrmantraut was in this grid, maybe it's time for Mike to go outside of the grid. Off the grid, if you will, to my fellow Beastie Boys fan, and maybe going off the grid is thinking that Walt could possibly be Heisenberg.
I mean, certainly if you go off the grid, one could liken that to thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I think to follow down the path of where he's potentially going, that, you know, yeah, you got to think way outside the box to wrap your head around, you know, Walt as doing what he's doing or suspecting him of doing what, you know, this note seems to potentially indicate.
But
I mean, even in that, you know, is his suspicion, I don't think in a million years that he's going to fathom that Walt played the role that he has up to this point.
Right.
Like, oh, maybe he cooked.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he cooked, you know, like, yeah, maybe, yeah.
You know.
Because maybe he cries to Hank again. He's like, I had to cook. I had cancer. And then if he needs to take it up another level, he'd be like, you know what? This drug money helped pay for your rehab, brother.
What are you going to do now?
Yeah. He's like, oh, you're going to go, you're going to go back? Yeah. The only reason you're hobbling around right now is because I gave you the money to do so. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the last eight episodes. Sadly, we have to wait a year. The incredible thing about Breaking Bad is that they've always been able to please. If you go back in their history, every season finale could have been the show finale. For example, last night, if you have Jesse open the bag and you see it's not a bomb, it's money, and then you have the scene of Walt's telling Skyler he's out, and then you have a picnic, and you don't have the part in the bathroom. That's a perfect show finale, and I think people would have been happy with that. Although we always want more. So it is going to be tough for Vince Gilligan because the next season finale will be the last one. So every loose end has to be tied tightly.
Every part of the buffalo must be used by that point.
Right. Well, Prof, thank you for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Sad that we have to wait another year until this all wraps up.
Well, luckily we have other episodes and series to watch in the interim.
Yes. And the fall is coming. It's a beautiful time of year. So, next summer, the end of Breaking Bad, and that will do it for part one of season 5. So for Professor D, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.